It's good to have Skip and Patty visiting with us today. They drove all the way from Florida just to be with us this morning in cold New York. Do you believe that? It has nothing to do with their son and grandson living Cohoes. But we appreciate them being with us here this morning. God bless you. Amen. We'll try to make this room at least a little bit like Florida. Amen. Now, we can't promise once you step outside of this room how warm it's going to be, but my in-laws live in Cape Coral, and they've been down there for 3 or 4 years now, and they thoroughly enjoy it. All right, Proverbs chapter number 29. To be honest with you, we've had quite a bit of a mild winter, even though the first day of winter was the 21st, but considering we're into January almost, it looks like the first week of January is going to be, for January, not cold, to be honest with you, which will be good for the oil heat, the heating bills, so praise the Lord for that. Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 18. Proverbs 29, verse number 18. Proverbs 29, verse number 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Remember hearing a sermon Brother Jeff Owens preached, oh, it's got to be 20 years ago maybe. And I can't remember what church he walked into, an old church. I don't know if he was familiar with it in the past or not, but he had walked into a church and he said, it had been abandoned. It had been empty for 20, 30 years maybe. And I can't tell you where it was. It was a Baptist church, but it had been emptied, you know, dust everywhere. And on the ceiling, on the back wall, maybe behind the pulpit, you know how we have the flag here and a lot of people have verses, like we have this verse here. A lot of churches have a Bible verse, you know, for people to see and read. Well, this verse was on that wall. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Every time I read this verse, I think about the story he said. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Except, he said, the building was so, I don't know, dilapidated or old or dusty and abandoned, the first letter had fallen off of the verse. And it read, here there is no vision, the people perish. I always remember that. That illustration, where there is no vision, the people will perish, ladies and gentlemen. And when you can't see God and the things of God and the eternal truths, people perish. Now, people will perish into hell without Jesus Christ, but the truth of the matter is, God's people will perish, not in hell, but will suffer the consequences of of missing the blessings of God and the power of God where there is no vision. You can't see what God has prepared. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into heart the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. You know? And so when you're not in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't see beyond your present circumstance. And sometimes it may not be good. But I want to focus on the second part of that. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So it does not matter who's in the White House that should determine your joy or your happiness in your heart. It should not be who is in the governor's mansion that determines your joy or your happiness. It ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you love God and you do the best, look, we're all a bunch of sinners, amen? So if you're saved, you're saved by the grace of God. But the more you lean toward God, the more you try to obey God, the more you try to follow God, the happier you'll be. Have you ever noticed people that usually come to church the most are the happiest? Think about that for a second. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that people that are the soul winners are usually happier than people that don't go soul winning. I've noticed that people that are concerned about souls are happier. It pans out. Not obviously there's exceptions to every single rule, but the truth of the matter is I've been saved for 40 years now, pastoring for 30, almost 31 and a half years, 61 years of age, and I've realized that the people that are in God's house the longest are usually the happiest people. The joy of the Lord is in the house of the Lord. Amen. It ought to be a house of joy. It ought to be a house of prayer. It ought to be a house of praise. It ought to be a house of feasting on the things of God. And the Bible says here, you know, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So I'm going to talk to you about being happy today. What the Bible says about being happy. Now, as we go through these Bible, now, this is like the flip side. I couldn't preach all these sermons all at one time. You remember about 3-4 weeks ago, I preached on depression, I think it was. Well, this is sort of the flip side of that depression, okay? And if you were here for that Sunday night part of the sermon, or when I preached out at the Old Paths meeting in Petersburg a month or 2 months ago, whatever it was, in November, I think it was, I said, people, it's an amazing thing that the people with the countries and the people with the highest suicide rates are usually in Europe, America, Australia, New Zealand. First world countries. Now you think about that. People with the highest suicide rate, for the most part, 80, 90%, are found in first world countries. Now I didn't mention in the Sunday morning sermon, but I mentioned it in the Sunday night sermon. And I mentioned out in Petersburg, the people with the lowest suicide rates are in Caribbean nations that are the poorest. Now, it's an amazing thing. As some of you know, my wife and I went to the Caribbean a couple weeks ago. And I'm telling you, it's beautiful water, beautiful air, beautiful temperature. First time I've ever been on a cruise. First time I've ever been to the Caribbean. And we're passing by people that literally live in tin shacks. Dirt poor that you will not find in America. I doubt it. Maybe in the hills of West Virginia or in the borders of Mexico, New Mexico and Texas somewhere, where the people are just crossing over and living in shacks. But from my perspective, it was the poorest that I personally have seen thus far in my life. I've heard of others. I've seen videos of others. But I've never seen firsthand how poor these people really are. And I preached about it about a week or two before I left. But they're happy people. How do you figure that? Well, the weather has a lot to do with it, to be honest with you. You don't have to put up with ice and snow and salting everything and shoveling. I understand that. And the cold weather doesn't help. And, you know, we don't have the clouds and the rain like Scotland, Ireland, England does all the time. We don't have that overcast all the time. And so I think we live in a beautiful part of the country. But you know what? It doesn't matter where you live if you don't have love and joy and happiness inside. We went to church in St. Lucia, man. I mean, these people are third world. Other than the tourist spots where people go to the beach or something like that, you know, other than that, these are dirt poor places. We showed up to church at St. Lucia, man, Baptist church. We were the only white people there. They were happy people, man. They had joy in their hearts, man. Americans come to church and they're miserable. You offer salvation and they're miserable. You tell them about Jesus Christ, they get angry. They curse you out. They swear at you. They yell at you. People are just not generally happy. The Bible says here in verse number 18, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. How happy are you? Do an inventory. Paul said, examine thyself. Now, the truth of the matter is, some people are the way they are, their personalities, because they grew up, as I said before, and I think in the depression sermon I preached, they grew up with parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, some kind of influence that formed their personality. And some people are just not happy only because the parents that they had, or their grandparents, or maybe they grew up in a foster home, or maybe they were abandoned, or something happened, untoward happened to them. I don't know. And that's true with all areas of your life, your finances, self-control, not just with joy and happiness, but your personality is formed in a very, very early age. But thank God for Jesus Christ that breaks through all the barriers, amen? And thank God for the power of God that explodes like dynamite everything that would obstruct your path to God. Only God can do that. No psychologist can do that. No treatment can do that. No classes can do that. Only Jesus can do that. You know, AA and these, and I'm not against all of them. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but they may be able to take the bottle away for a period of time, but they can't take the desire away like Jesus can. They may be able to give you some medication to make you stop smoking your weed and stuff like that, but they're not going to take away the craving. Only Jesus can do that. And by the way, you may not even acknowledge that it was God that took it away from you. Well, the Bible says here, where there is no vision, the people perish, and the opposite, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Look at chapter 28, just before that, Proverbs 28, verse number 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. One thing that's missing in God's people today is a fear of God. Nobody fears God. Nobody fears the judgment that we're going to stand before and give an account. And Paul, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, man, Paul talks about the judgment seat of Christ, man. It'll be a trembling time. Therefore, I persuade men. He said that because of the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. Everybody thinks it's going to be a cakewalk, you know. It's going to be a piece of cake. It'll be easy, you know. I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven now. You wait till you get the judgment seat of Christ and have to answer for everything that you've said and done in your life, even if you're saved or not, even if you are saved. That's a terrifying moment when you think about it. It's a sobering moment when you think about it, that all of us are going to stand before God and give an account one day. That's a sobering thought. Well, the Bible says here in verse number 14, look it. Happy is the man that feareth alway. Did you ever notice that children that are disciplined correctly and fear their parents are happier children? Did you ever see them? They're happy. But the world doesn't want you to discipline your children so they can become spoiled brats, so they can ruin their lives and lay on a psychiatrist's couch so they can make $300, $400, $500 an hour because they're miserable. A child that is disciplined, a person that is disciplined, who has some self-control, is a happier person, ladies and gentlemen. And unsaved doctors will tell you that children with good attitudes recover quicker, and adults too. Children and adults who have good attitudes recover from illnesses and sicknesses faster than other people. If you have a good attitude, even if you are hurting, even if you are sick, Even if you have some disease, it's your attitude that's going to be the biggest ingredient in your recovery, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine, I don't know who the greatest basketball player of all time is, but let's just say, for namesake, just for picking an example, Michael Jordan. You know Michael Jordan had more fouls than anybody else? But you won't remember that. Because he didn't walk around and say, I'm the biggest fouler in the world. I can't believe I foul so much. No, he's known for being one of the greatest basketball players. Because when you work that hard and play that hard, you're bound to make fouls. I may be wrong in this, but I think the strikeout leader in baseball, if not the leader in the top five, was Babe Ruth. Now, you don't know that because all you look about is Babe Ruth held the record for home runs all those years. But you know what? He struck a lot out to get to those home runs. But he'd walk out and say, I can't believe I strike out so much. He didn't walk around his whole entire life and says, man, I can't do anything. No, he just hits home runs and strikes out. Well, you got to realize that we're a bunch of sinners in these vile bodies with the hope of glory in us. You better focus on Jesus instead of yourself. And you ought to focus on what Jesus can do through you instead of what the sinful flesh persuades you against God or dissuades you to live for God. It's where you focus your mind. It's where you decide to bring every thought into captivity, the Bible says. So you have a choice to be happy. You have a choice to be glad. You have a choice to have joy in your heart. It's a decision you make. And we'll get to that. Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Look, I'm not saying if a close loved one dies that you ought to be happy about. I'm not saying that. And there are proper time, you know, to be sad and have sorrow. There's proper time to be happy and glad. But there ought to be a constant joy in your heart. There ought to be a constant happiness hidden inside your heart, even when you have heartaches and burdens, and even when things and sad things happen in your life. I mean, you don't go to a funeral and start singing, "I'm glad so-and-so died," you know? Of course not. But there ought to be a constant joy in your heart, regardless of what the consequences are, outside of your body, outside in life. Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 20. "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Now, we're reading some very exclusive verses. So what are exclusive? The Bible says if you're trusting God, you're going to be happy. That's what it says. It says if you fear God all the time, if you're always fearing God, you'll be happy. So when you look at somebody that's not happy, my Bible says if you trust God, you'll be happy. If you fear God, you'll be happy. Not that you'll like everything. Not that you'll agree with everything in life. But you will be happy. Now again, happiness, a lot of it depends on happenstance, like on circumstance, whereas joy is more constant. And we've gone through those before, but joy is more constant regardless of what's going on. That's a constant joy through the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are things in your life that can make you happy, like obeying the Word of God, like fearing God, like trusting God. That's what it says. Three verses we just read in Proverbs are exclusive. That means if you're trying to live for God and obeying the law, you'll be happy. If you fear God, you'll be happy. If you trust God, you'll be happy. So these are things that you can put into practice in your life. Obey the Word of God to the best of your ability. Just read it and do the best you can to obey. And I'm telling you, your whole attitude will change. Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs 14. And you know what people need? They need to see somebody who has genuine love, someone who has genuine joy and happiness, you know. Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 21. "He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." So these are four verses in a row that we just read. If you're obeying the law, you'll be happy. If you fear God, you'll be happy. Huh? If you trust him, you'll be happy. And if you show mercy on the poor, you'll be happy. What better way to show mercy on the poor than giving the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I know a lot of people stay away from those poor neighborhoods, you know, project areas, slums, because it's dangerous and stuff like that, you know. But they need God just like you need God. They need salvation like you need salvation. Did you ever knock on the doors in Loudonville, Menands? Talk about cold hearts, man. Why don't you go to richest neighborhoods and knock on doors and see the kind of reception you get? They don't even let you in. They don't open the door. They'll buzz you and say, "No, thank you. Get off my property." You know, there are exceptions. I'm not saying there aren't. But for every 1 out of 10 doors that open in a very rich neighborhood and are very welcoming, you'll get about 9 out of 10 doors in the projects. Because they know they're poor. They know where, you know what I'm talking about. They're in projects. We used to call ghettos. Well, God says, if you show mercy on the poor, you will be happy. Hey, you know it's true that every time you win somebody to Jesus Christ and they pray the sinner's prayer, you know what it does on the inside of your heart. You know what it does to you. God says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Rejoice, God, and that's, by the way, I can't remember exactly how it says, but in the midst of the angels, that's God that's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Well, that rejoicing happens to the sinner that gets saved, and that rejoicing happens with the person who gives the sinner the opportunity to get saved. So everybody's rejoicing. I don't know about you, but the best thing that ever happened in my life is when I got saved. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Well, thank God somebody had mercy on my soul. I was poor in spirit or poor without Jesus, as far as I'm talking about spiritually now. And that person was happy. I was happy. God was happy. I mean, you can't get a better combination than that. I'll guarantee you this much. You don't do those four things, you will be miserable. You'll dry out. You'll look at somebody else and criticize them and complain and murmur. You'll be despondent. You'll be depressed. You'll be dejected because it's all about you and your life. And that's why people are self-centered. They're looking about how bad that they have it. Why don't you go live? Don't visit the Caribbean. Go live down there. Don't go to a tourist spot. Go live next door to them and see how happy you are. See how miserable you'll be. Proverbs chapter number 3. We're going backwards here. Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse number 13. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. Future preacher. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. There you go. And you know what James 1:5 says? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. So God wants to give everybody wisdom. If you just ask him, he'll give it to you. And if you get wisdom, you'll be happy. Do you think everything for the last 31 and a half years in this church has gone as smoothly as we all wanted it to go? I don't think so. We've had our share of heartaches and burdens and trials and ups and downs. Days of victory and days of defeat, sort of, you know. But the truth of the matter is, if you love God, the whole building can burn down. I'm just telling you. I remember the story Brother Hiles told years ago at a pastor school. He said he got the call. He was preaching somewhere in another state, and the dormitories burned down or the college burned down. I can't remember. The old building, they burned down or something, like caught on fire, and everything was just lost. And all the, you know, college students, they had their dorms there. There's, you know, everything, the building had burned down. And they're just crying, weeping, you know. Brother Hiles gets up, goes to the inside of chapel. There's, you know, I don't know, 4,000, 5,000 students at that time, maybe more, I don't remember. He walks into chapel, people are just depressed, and people are crying and weeping. You can imagine, your house just burns down, you lose everything you got. He walks to the pulpit and he starts singing, "Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy. Joy. They sang that for 30 minutes straight. By the time they were done singing, they were shouting and singing and glad that the buildings burned down. You need to focus on Jesus and how good God is, amen? This stuff that we have is temporal. These buildings are going to fall down and burn one day. Pulpit's going to burn. Pew's going to burn. Everything's going to fall apart and burn and rot one day. But the things of God will last for all eternity, amen? Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father. Hey, are you concerned about everything all right in God's house? More than the world, the White House, or the governor's mansion, or the mayor's office? We're so caught up with the political stuff. Everything, you know, are they going to build the wall or not? Or are we going to have enough to pass the votes? Do we have enough budget money? You know, you're so caught up with the things of the world, you're losing the grandest things of all. Salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, man. Psalm 144, please. I'm sorry, no, I want to keep reading here. Proverbs 3. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding.
For the merchandise of it, we're talking about wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. You know, if someone came up and gave you $10,000, you'd be pretty happy, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd be happy. Give me $10,000, you'll see how happy I am. But I better be happier about Jesus than I have gold or silver, ladies and gentlemen, or a house or a car. Huh? It's the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. Not money. Nothing wrong with money if you work for it, amen, and you earn it. But too many people are loving money. That's why they're playing bingo and scratching off tickets and gambling their money away so they can have more money. There's something missing inside. There's a vacuum inside. They got to fill it. Whether it's politics, whether it's sex, whether it's pornography, whether it's money and gambling, whether it's power, whatever it is, they're trying to fill that void with something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You'll be searching for the rest of your life because you'll not find anything that'll fill the vacuum that Jesus is supposed to be there to fill. You won't find it. That's why people are going from one drug to another drug, you know, one bottle, beer bottle to another whiskey bottle. They're going from here to there. Maybe I want to hear a good comic. I want to I want him to make me laugh. I want to see a good comedy show. I want people to give me a good joke so you can laugh. And nothing wrong with most of that stuff. But if that's what you need to get by in life, hopping from one thing to another, there's a problem inside. There's a problem inside. Job said, God giveth, God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, man. Could you say that with Brother Job? God, he was the richest man of his area. Buried 10 children one day. Picture of health one day, then lost all his health the following day. And you know what? God blessed him. God turned his captivity, the Bible says, when he prayed for his three friends that came to criticize him. That's pretty hard to do. When you've lost everything, then those three friends supposedly come by, not to comfort you. He says, you're miserable comforters, all of you. But God turned his captivity because he prayed for his friends. Hey, do you pray for your enemies? Do you love those that hate you? Do you do good to those that despise you? Do you turn the other cheek? You'll be happy. It won't make sense to the world, but you'll be happy. That joy will come through, ladies and gentlemen. Keep reading here. Verse 15, this is talking about wisdom. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She, wisdom now, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. You know, the Bible says that Solomon was the wisest man. And you know what the Queen of Sheba said? When she came, she said, the half has not been told. You remember the story? She came, she saw everything. You know what she said? How happy are your attendants? Because that's a fruit of wisdom, being happy. But Solomon lost his wisdom when he went after false gods because of the strange women that he married. And he didn't retain his happiness. He didn't retain wisdom. If you don't believe that, go ahead and read the book of Ecclesiastes that he wrote. Wisest man that ever lived. His men were happy. But you can lose it like he lost it. I'm not better than Solomon, and neither are you. I haven't done anything to compare to what Solomon's done. Neither have you. So you can, at one point, be happy and then not retain it and just lose it and just flush it away because you lost your boyfriend, you lost your girlfriend, you lost your house, you lost your car, you lost your job, you lost your health. What will it take for you to forsake God and the joy of living for Jesus Christ? What will it take?
I mean, the martyrs, go ahead, read Fox's Book of Martyrs, man. They were singing while they were being burned at the stake, man. They were in prison. Paul and Silas singing praise to God at midnight. In jail, in prison, in the dungeon. Americans, you stub your toe 2 o'clock in the morning and you're cussing and swearing up a storm. You step on a little toy in the middle of the night going to the bathroom or something like that and you're mad. Which you kids left us here? We're spoiled. We're spoiled rotten, man. Psalm 127, please. Psalm 127. I don't know about you, I'm glad I'm saved. It changed my whole outlook on life. It changed my whole outlook on eternity. I took the focus off of John Kalidas and I put it on Jesus Christ. At least I'm trying to. I know it's a constant struggle for all of us because we're sinners. I understand that. But the more you put the focus on Jesus and the Word of God, you'll be happy, I'm telling you. You won't be disappointed when things in the world don't go your way. You may be disappointed, but it won't destroy you. Psalm 127, verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's what it says. I'm sorry, 126, Psalm 126. We're going to go 127 after this. Psalm 126, verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, shall reap. So there's nothing wrong with weeping at night, because it says, verse number 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing the King James Bible, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. All right, so there's nothing wrong with having a heartache and a burden and going through a trial, and, you know, you feel like you're pulling your hair out and you're crying at night, you're weeping, you don't know how to get through it. That's all right. God's still on the throne, amen? God will take care of it. You just pour your heart out to God, because in the morning, joy cometh in the morning, God said. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So go through those hard times or heartaches or burdens, but don't give up your joy in Jesus Christ. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, without a doubt, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hey, you go soul winning long enough, somebody's going to get saved. I promise you, someone. It's not like, no, you know, can you imagine preaching for 100 years and no one getting saved with Noah? You're building an ark and nobody getting saved. At least here, we still have the opportunity and people do get saved, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you need to start handing out gospel tracts. So I'm telling you what, man, we had my wife and I had a blast yesterday, man. God, I'm telling you, just to visit people, get people saved, follow up people, encourage people, God will do a work in your heart. You think you're going to help somebody, God's going to help you doing that. I'm just telling you. Psalm 127, verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know this is true, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'll say 90% of all women that have had abortions are miserable. First of all, they can't get over their conscience that bothers them. Second of all, their conscience is seared. Third of all, they know they killed somebody. When you take the most innocent individual in a woman's womb and destroy that life and kill that life, you have crossed a line, ladies and gentlemen, that only by the grace of God can you ever get right. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the... It doesn't say the woman is happy. It says the man's happy. All right, he's out working away from the job, away from home probably, amen. But it says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Hey, I don't know about you, but I love having my children home when they were home and young, amen. six kids. We had six. You know, my for those of you that do not know, my daughter's expecting her 10th. They're happy children. All my lost relatives, how are they going to feed them? How are they going to feed them? Same way we fed our kids. I don't know. God is going to feed them, amen. But if you go with them, you play with them, man, they're all happy kids. And thank God, you know, I can't remember last time I said this, and I want to be very careful. I said, we have women in this church that have had abortions, you know, but have gotten saved and gotten right with God. And that just, you know what, that's God's mercy, amen. But you look at these women, these feminists who marching all down and hating men and hating God and hating the Bible, look how miserable they are, man. They hate life. You go ahead and look at these lesbians that are 40, 50, 60 years old, living all by themselves. They're miserable people. Oh, they may be happy when they're in their teens or 20s or 30s and they got the summer of life about them and they look beautiful and they're young and they're healthy. You wait till they get to be 50 and 60 and they're all wrinkled up and they're all by themselves and they're deserted because they don't want nothing to do with God. They're miserable. Children make you happy. If you teach them right, if you discipline them right, if you spank them enough. Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Starting verse number 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Do you ever notice complainers, murmurs, and depressed people go together? Do you ever realize, you ever look at them? They're all criticizing, complaining, murmuring, dejected. I mean, misery loves company, man. You know? Look at the next verse. Happy is that people where there's no complaining in the streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. 1968, I was 11 years old. First time I went to Greece, our parents took us to Greece. And Greece back then was just coming out of World War II. Don't forget, you know, they had a communist civil war back then, very, very bad. They were just, I don't want to say third world country, but they were just coming out from third world to second world country maybe. The village my mom was born in didn't have electricity, no running water. There was one phone. It was in the village store. It was a mountain village. And it took like about 10, 15 minutes just to get to the store from off the mountain, you know. I mean, so they lived on dirt floors in the villages there. Now, in cities like Athens, they were more up to date a little bit. But in 1968, Greece was not a very rich nation at all. It's suffering now because of socialism. But I remember 1968, being in my aunt's house in Nafbakto and looking out the second floor window because the sheep herders were bringing, I am not exaggerating when I say this, hundreds, if not thousands of sheep down the street to market or through town. They were passing through. I don't know. I have no idea. I was 11 years old. But all I saw from the second floor window as an 11-year-old boy, it was wall-to-wall sheep. Cars parked. You couldn't see the sidewalk. Sheep on the sidewalk, sheep on the street, sheep going in and out, everything just stood still while these shepherds were bringing their literally hundreds and hundreds of sheep through the town, the city town. And this town was about, I don't know, 30, 40, 50,000 people, probably 20,000 at the time, maybe 40, 50,000 now or more. But I'm just saying, so everything came to a standstill. Every time I read that verse, I think about that vision I had when I saw that. Let's look at verse number 13. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. You know, people are like sheep. God likens us to sheep. If you're not a sheep, you're a goat. I'd rather be a sheep than a goat. And God very clearly says the sheep are on the right. The goats are on the, don't forget that. That's very important truth right there. Okay?
Well, people are like sheep. And the more soul winning we go, we bring forth, listen, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. Can you imagine people getting saved all over the place? There'd be a lot less complaining, a lot more of thanking God for salvation, amen? Huh? That there'd be no complaining in our streets. You go ahead and read the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin, and I'm not saying he's a saved man. I'm just saying he was one of our founding fathers, and he's a deist, if I remember correctly. But he wrote this in his autobiography. When he's walking down the streets of Philadelphia, he was recounting either George Whitefield or Jonathan Edwards, one of them came through Philly, preached on the steps of City Hall, and he backed up almost to the Delaware River, like within a block or two of the Delaware River, and he could still hear the preacher preaching off the steps of City Hall in Philadelphia, man. City Hall, Philadelphia, you know, the famous City Hall where they signed the Declaration of Independence. Benjamin Franklin wrote in his autobiography, he said he could walk down the streets of Philadelphia and hear gospel singing and hymn singing in the windows as he passed the homes, the town homes. I don't think you'll get that in Philadelphia today. If you come out of there alive, you don't get mugged, shot, raped, killed, murdered, beaten. And not just Philadelphia, most other inner cities. You know why? Because there's a vacuum there, and they're trying to fill it with all that, they're trying to fill that void with everything except the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what people need? They need Jesus. You and I need? We need more Jesus. Well, he needs more of us, you know. I got all of him at salvation, but he needs more of me. And the more you yield, the happier you'll be. If you obey the law, if you fear God, if you trust him, and the list goes on, you get wisdom. You'll be a happy, happy person. Let's all stand, shall we? Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the adult Bible study. For the folks here, I pray that you bless those that are still coming. Bless the Sunday school, junior church to follow. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for salvation. Bless church this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.